Welcome to Humble Brag. I'm Nate Mendel. Growing up, I never thought about travel as a thing. Yes, it's something that you do. It's something that people do. But I never thought about it as a department, for lack of a better term, an entire world. Now, as I'm growing and doing some travel myself, I'm starting to understand travel in a whole different light. We all know a person or two or more who they travel, right? They're that type. They've been to 50 or 100 countries, and they just don't stop traveling. They don't stop getting around, going places. And I never thought of myself as that type, if that's even a type. But at the same time, I did have an interest in seeing the world. I didn't make the correlation, though, between it being a certain type and my interest in seeing the world. From when I was young, and as I got older, the desire only increased for me to go out and see different countries, explore the world. But I didn't see myself as the traveler type. Again, if that even means anything, there's a whole array of personality types who travel, so it's nearly impossible to claim that there's a specific type, unless the claim is based on the classification that they travel itself, that one attribute. But there is a term that I coined in previous episodes, which is traveler's mentality, and today we're going to get into that, because I believe I have identified common traits among the general traveling population. Five of which include agility, agreeableness, spontaneous, open-mindedness, and curious. The individuals who embody traveler's mentality almost always have those five traits. Agreeableness refers to the notion that the individual needs to have a high level of agreeableness, especially if they travel with a partner. If you are a rigid person and you travel with a partner, that wouldn't work out well. Your partner comes and says, hey, let's check out that adventure, that mountain, that trail, that country. And if you're rigid and you have no interest in it, you won't agree. Therefore, your ability to travel freely, lightheartedly, and with a partner reduces drastically. So agreeableness is one of the huge traits that come along with someone who has traveler's mentality. Travelers in general are agreeable because even if they travel alone, they are often with other travelers, they socialize with other travelers, they meet new people, and they simply don't have the wherewithal to be rigid. You know, it's like they say, beggars can't be choosers. It's a similar concept. If you're in someone else's country, someone else's land, exploring their territory, so on and so forth, mingling with them, you can't be rigid. So agreeableness is huge. Now, I noticed that I screwed up the order, but I will probably continue to do so. But we will get through all five of these. The second one, which was the first earlier, the second one being agility. Agility, also massive. Agility essentially means that, you know, you have the get up and go personality. If you're the type that needs 2 hours in the morning and you can't talk to people when you wake up, or you're slow and sluggish, or you need your comforts, none of that works when you travel. So there has to be a high degree of agility. You have to be agile in the literal sense, but you also have to be agile in your mind, being able to adapt, try new things, do things that are uncomfortable, do things that are outside of your comfort zone. Individuals who have traveler's mentality, almost always, they're agile in their thinking and they're agile in their physical boundaries. In other words, they will allow themselves to do a lot more physically. And this is what it means to be agile. But more so than physical is in the mind. You must be able to reduce constraints in your mind when you travel. You have to allow yourself the agility, the creativity, and the trust to say, you know, I can try that. I can go there. I can try something new. I can go out of my comfort zone. Not only I can, I will. So agility is a very large component as well. And let me just throw in, there may be a lot more than five traits, even five large ones. These are just five that I identified off the top of my head, giving it less than 30 minutes of thought. But these are the ones that are so prevalent to myself, my wife, we travel, and travelers that we bump into. Number three, if it's number three, is spontaneous. So obviously, if you're a traveler, you have an interest in traveling, or you want to see the world, you have to be spontaneous. It's similar to agile, but it's also different, because spontaneous means that you're able to flip on the dime. You're able to make a decision quickly. The desire to want to try new things or something different or something new out of the blue comes naturally. And there are so many times when you travel that things don't work out as planned that you have to be able to accept spontaneous alternatives. So the character trait or behavior that is related to spontaneous needs to be part of who you are if you're going to be a traveler or if you are a traveler. Additionally, I would add that if you're not spontaneous, then the chances that you are a traveler are very low. or the chances that you travel frequently are low. Because if you're traveling to random countries, seeing the world, that means that you spontaneously came up with those ideas. You spontaneously had the urge and the desire to go, so on and so forth. So being spontaneous is part of your emotional makeup as a traveler. Number four, let's say open-mindedness. Open-mindedness. And you see how all of these kind of overlap with each other, but they have their own uniquenesses as well. Open-mindedness is very important because if you're a closed-minded person, you cannot fully appreciate other cultures, other countries, different mentalities. This is a major prerequisite to enjoy travel and to travel to many countries. If you're a type of person who judges and judges frequently and critiques, in other words, you're not open-minded to understand other people, other cultures, other lifestyles, travel is not for you, because when you travel and you see these other cultures and other places, you have to be a person who respects and is open-minded to them. If you're the type to moan and groan the entire time because you don't understand why this country does that and that country does this, so on and so forth, then you can't spontaneously go out and just enjoy travel. When we recorded, me and my wife recorded the four-part series on making an Aliyah, we did a lot of explaining / complaining about the differences or the stuff going on in Israel. The purpose of that was not to complain. We don't live our lives here in Israel sitting and complaining about how horrible Israel is and how hard it is, right? When we're trying to educate people on the differences and make sure that the reality is relayed very clearly, you can discuss that, right? There's a difference between visiting a country, going home, and then talking about some of the hardships or some of that stuff, and being in the country or being on your trip, moaning and groaning and complaining the entire time. For us in Israel, as an example, there are many things that are difficult, many things that is just retarded compared to America, yet we still appreciate, love, and want to be here. So there's a distinction there. But more than anything, open-mindedness refers to the notion that you don't just begrudgingly accept that this country is different, so on. You actively and in a positive, appreciative manner want to understand and be open-minded to other people's cultures, other people's way of living, other lands, other laws, other rules. And number five is curious. The trait of being curious is an integral part, super important, because how can you actively and consistently travel places if you're not curious, if you don't have an interest to want to learn and want to see and want to explore? Being curious is not just something you need in order to move you to do the first step, to get you out of the country, to get you out of your state. It is needed even when you're traveling. The more curious you are, the more adventurous you are, right? You could be walking on a trail and just following the trail, or you could be curious and you go off the trail and you look at the leaves and you pick up the rocks and stones and learn things. Out here in the desert of Israel, we go out on these walks, and recently we were in the crater. There are two very large, I think possibly the largest craters, erosion craters in the world, in the Israeli south. One is by Mitzpeh Ramon, one is right over here near Yerucham. And when you walk in it and you just look at the different rocks, little shells, and because it used to be covered in water, it's fascinating. But that comes from curiosity. One person could stand there just looking at this barren, bleak, like just empty desert, boring, right? And you could have somebody just the opposite, just looking at everything and just, wow. So you need that aspect of curiousness in order to enjoy your travels, not just to get you to want to go somewhere, but also to enjoy different foods, enjoy nature, and so on and so forth. So those five are very huge. They pretty much summarize most of the large traits that travelers, or people with what I call traveler's mentality, embody. And the notion of traveler's mentality is pretty interesting, because when people who are not travelers see travelers, they do think of travelers as a certain type. And possibly this is what it is. Again, outside of the classification itself that they travel, maybe there's that cluster of traits that they share that make them a certain type. I prefer to call it traveler's mentality, because it's a mentality that you could kind of learn, adapt, and come to appreciate, even if you don't have it off the bat. Some of this stuff didn't necessarily come naturally to me and my wife. It's something that builds on itself and grows. So like I said earlier, when I was young, I didn't necessarily possess any of this stuff. I simply had an interest. Oh, I want to see the world. Okay, well, I'm 8 years old and I'm 10 and then I'm 15 and I'm doing nothing about it. But I just simply had that thought, like, I want to see the world. And then as I get older, with my desire to move to Israel and then actually doing that and then continuously getting older and starting to travel, I'm like, oh, this, you know, I do like this. I don't struggle so much with the airports, airplanes, the time zone changes, the jet lag and all this stuff. I'm slowly just getting used to it because I do it so often. And those are little details for a traveler because travelers, as I said, they're agile, they're easygoing. If I have to crash in the airport and sleep on a bench, I'll do it without thought. The ability to do all of that is part of the agility, the, you know, the non-rigidness, the open-mindedness, the spontaneity. So when you look at a traveler, being able to do those types of things is because they possess that. But, you know, we came to that. That wasn't like that right off the bat. The first few years that we started traveling, I probably did care more about my comfort and I did care about certain things. And then certain experiences like walking the Appalachian Trail for multiple days and sleeping in 25 degree weather and freezing at night and just going through certain experiences hardens you. It toughens you up. And all of a sudden, you don't have a problem with this and you don't have a problem with that. And areas where people struggle just on one flight, one lag, one leg, one piece of any journey, it's nothing. Most flights, when I come to the U.S., I sleep 2/3 of them. I could put my blanket over my face and not even take it off the entire flight. I sit for 10 hours straight. I don't move out of my seat. You get used to this stuff. So this type of stuff grows. But it's a fascinating group of traits that seem to embody, as I said, the general traveling population. Now, moving on from there, travel is fascinating. Travel is healthy. Travel is good. And I don't think enough people travel, considering it's relatively easy. When compared to how difficult it was just some time ago, it's relatively easy. Airplanes put us across the world in hours, not days and weeks. Trains and buses move us around locally relatively quick. And a lot of travel is very cheap / affordable. People who don't travel see travel as a huge expense, whereas people who travel don't see that at all. They actually see travel as a small expense at times, and in rare occasions it can become expensive, but that's no different than any life or any lifestyle. In order to travel, you need to have desire. As we're getting more and more into it, me and my wife have a goal now to travel to at least 2 countries a year. That's besides for the fact that we come back and forth between America and Israel all the time. Outside of America and Israel, we want to travel to at least 2 countries a year. And our particular desire is that when we travel, we go to said country for a significant amount of time. For us to travel to, say, Africa for a week, that's not a trip for us. That's a waste of money for us. So when we want to go to Africa, we want to do it for a month or two. We want to actually experience. And this brings me to the next part, which is there's a huge difference between vacationing somewhere and traveling somewhere. Travelers, people who enjoy travel, culture, and seeing land, are typically not going to resorts and vacation hotspots. They may stop through there, but that's not their destination. That's not their goal. You simply do not experience another country's culture, life, day-to-day, and land fully to its capacity when you go as a tourist and do what tourists do. And the opposite is true. When you go for a significant portion of time, you go to small towns, hang out with locals, and do out of the ordinary stuff, the type of stuff that travelers do, then you get to experience what that country is really like and what life there is really like and what the beauty it really is. I'm not making away traveling and going to the beachside in an expensive hotel. I'm just saying it's a very different experience. So serious travelers have an interest to really get involved. I'm not going to get into the numbers. I will just say that it's not so expensive. Your biggest expense typically when you travel may be your tickets, depending on where you're going. And even that, sometimes depending on how far it is and time of the year, deals and different stuff, you could get affordable tickets. But the fact that you're going to have to buy food, well, you have to buy food, doesn't matter where you are, right? We spend about $800 to $1,000 a month on regular grocery shopping for me, my wife, and one child. That $1,000 doesn't change too drastically when we're in another country. The $1,000 budget for shopping, for grocery shopping, remains. We have a few $100 budget for, say, dates and entertainment. Well, just take that budget and bring it with you, right? Nothing changes there. We have expenses related to car rental or car, right? Car, gas, insurance. It may equal $1,000 plus. Well, take that and bring that with you. If you're in Africa and all of your taxis and buses and whatever you use to move around, private driver, it's not going to be too different. There are many things, this is part of the agility and your ability to get creative with it and think about it from a different place. You could say that travel, if you have interest in it but have no clue how to do it, has to be relearned. You just have to come at it from a completely different angle, not from the tourist perspective, because those are two different worlds. The amount of money that we spend when we visit a country versus someone who blows on beachfronts, two completely different worlds, right? In most cases, you could find an Airbnb 15 minutes from the beach for an eighth of the price of these fancy hotels. So everything's a decision. You don't have to eat at Michelin star restaurants, right? You could eat local food. So when you travel and you do it consistently, it's less about the, oh, I want to, you know, let loose and blow money and, you know, kind of like you would in the casino. It's practicality. You have a desire to travel, get out, see other places. And whatever your budget is, you make it work just like you make your budget work in your regular life. There's really no difference. The large difference, like I said, is the money you need to save up for the ticket. Some of the extra money that you need for the Airbnbs. Well, maybe you could adjust one or two things in your current life to be able to afford that. But like I said, I don't want to get too deeply into the budgets and financing. There are creative ways and there are ways that people do it. And if you think it's only people who could afford it, you're wrong. Because the final part of this episode is about a platform called Workaway. Now, Workaway is a magnificent and fantastic idea. And I'm surprised that I only recently learned about it. I learned about it because I had Workawayers come by for Shabbos and spend and have a meal with us. I am a technologist. I quite literally consult businesses in the domain of technology. I'm very aware of almost all the large applications out there in any vertical. And the fact that I just learned about Workaway and its associated competitors is quite baffling to me, because some years ago, my brother mentioned, I want to go on a boat. There's this website where you could like go work on a boat and do stuff, and they kind of cover some of your overhead or something, and it's a crazy experience. And when he said that, I was like, oh my God, that's great. My wife was telling him, like, do it. Like, what are you even thinking? You're, what, 20 years old or whatever? Go experience life. And he didn't end up doing it. I may have checked out the website that he had mentioned. It just seemed like an archaic, not much going on type of website. Well, it turns out there is a website where you could have these experiences, and it's a very large website, and it's called Workaway. Workaway.info, I think, is the website. And essentially the premise is people all around the world, and I think this started in Europe, so you may see more of it there, more listings there, but evidently people need helpers, and in exchange for you providing help, they give you accommodation. And this is a huge, huge thing in the traveler's world. I was so fascinated to learn about it. I was so happy to learn about it. How did I learn about it? Well, my wife's in the grocery store in little town of Yerucham and here in Israel, and hear some English speakers, so she's very social, says hi, and invites them for a Shabbos meal. It was one Russian girl who isn't Jewish, and a boy from New York who is Jewish, not religious, and, you know, come over for a Shabbos meal Friday night. So they were in town, they're staying in town, and they came over. So they tell us about this. These two people, they don't know each other. They met each other a week ago. They're working at a hostel right in town. In exchange for 4 to 5 hours of work, they get free lodging. They also get a tiny allowance on top of it. They're like, wait a second. And I'm like, well, how did you find it? They're like, through this application. I'm like, what? It's like the Uber for traveling and free accommodation. Turns out this is a huge thing. If you want to travel somewhere, but you don't have a lot of money, you go into Workaway, you get to travel because you get the accommodation. A lot of these, there's different hosts offer different things, but almost all of them are giving you a place to sleep for free. And some of them are even providing your food. So wait a second. You mean to say that I could travel to any country in this world and go to someone, get free lodging, potentially free food, and all I have to do is help them out for a few hours a day? Mind blown. And I think it's fantastic. And that's what my brother was referring to some years earlier when he was talking about this boat. So, you know, from boats to farms, agriculture, community, hostels, everything and anything. And it turns out this is huge. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people do this. And there are a couple websites that handle it, that offer that service. It's essentially a host and a traveler, hence the name Workaway. Really cute, right? So these two people, they just met each other a week ago. They're only going to be here for a few weeks. Different hosts require different durations. Some of them have like a minimum of 2 days. Others have a minimum of 2 weeks, or it could be 2 months. But you can travel the world and get involved by helping out the locals. And me and Sharon thought that was so fascinating. So of course we jumped onto the platform, because after you're done taking from this world and you've exhausted all of your lust, so on and so forth, you might start to consider, how do you give back? Ultimately, the good that we receive from the world, we want to give back. And that's charity. It's the ultimate level of satisfaction, right? The opposite of greed. And so if we're traveling to countries for 1 or 2 months at a time, why the hell would we not want to join some communities, stay at someone, help them out, help the locals? What better way to learn about the locals and that country and that culture than to mingle with actual people outside of the tourists and all that stuff? So we thought it was fascinating. So we're gonna check it out on our upcoming visits, and we're gonna see how that goes. But what's really fascinating about this is that for young people, single people, this opens up a world of opportunity. This cliche 9-to-5, you know, I just got out of college or high school and I'm going to go get a job at McDonald's or in a warehouse and stock shelves because I'm, you know, a champion of my life, is such utter garbage and bullshit. You have an opportunity to travel the world, see the world before it becomes more difficult as you get older and get married, have children, and so on. Be different. Be creative. Go out and see. The issue with staying within your community, the place that you grew up, and this is very hard to understand until and unless you've been out for a while. But trust me, being in the box within which you grew up holds you hostage to that framework, that thought process, that brainwashing, those values, that outlook. I really think that it is in the best interest of any young adult to get out and explore the world. It is now easier than ever to do so. Jump onto Workaway, save up. Yeah, you need a couple dollars in your pocket to get around, for the taxi, to get here, to get there. Save up a couple grand, you could get into travel. If you save up $5,000, $3,000, you could start your Workaway journey, go from country to country, place to place. You could be gone from your home for a year straight off of that $3,000. Not that the $3,000 is going to cover you the entire year, but you could go from Workaway to Workaway. And during these experiences, you find ways to make money along the way, some side cash. At the end of it, think about this. On the one hand, you could go get a job in a warehouse and make your $20 an hour or whatever, even if it's more, 30, and you live in a city or near a city, things are expensive, right? So you make your $4,000 a month, your $6,000 a month, whatever it is, or less, and you're just covering. You literally are just covering. You never have extra money. Everything goes to bills. A year later, you're still in the warehouse job. Even if you got your raise, you're still in the warehouse job. Now you're making an additional $300 a month because you got your raise. What have you learned, achieved, experienced during that time as a young adult doing that? Now compare that with a year traveling, seeing 5 different countries, experiencing 5 different cultures, literally seeing the world. You're the same broke when you're done, but which one gave you a more rich and wholesome experience? An experience that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. An experience that may shape and vitalize you in ways that you can't imagine. An experience that may open up paths and opportunities and doors to endless treasures. It's incomparable. And there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who are already tapping into this. You could do it as, like, for example, if you have just a few months available to vacation or you have some money saved up, you don't have to go to the beachfront. You could experience any country you want by doing some type of hybrid. Even expensive places, places that are far. You want to go to New Zealand. Well, the price of going to New Zealand for 3 weeks was just cut in half if you spend 1 week at a Workaway. You still got to experience the land. You also got to experience the real culture, the real people, the real life, not just the beachfront. And you get to give back to the locals. Anyway, it's a fascinating idea. I think it opens the doors to so much opportunity. But I think for young adults, I mean, this is good for anyone, but specifically for young adults who are just wasting their years either smoking weed, doing the cliche first job, second job, where you make your low hourly wage and you haven't quite experienced anything in life yet, and all you're thinking about is, you know, at some point you got to get married, so on and so on. Just stop. And if you have an interest in travel and seeing the world, then it's a no-brainer. Then there's nothing to even talk about. Then for sure you should jump on, start experiencing. And if you want to try it out, try it before you buy it. Find a Workaway that's within your own country. There's so many benefits to meeting new people, which brings up another thing, which is that, you know, if you don't have friends or you're not happy with your peers and the people you hang around, you want a new community, that's what these travelers do. It's a whole community. You start traveling, you go places, you meet people, you make new friends, you open new doors, new routes open, new opportunities arise. So just in that respect alone, learning how to be a social person, learning how to be agile and all this stuff, learning how to be open-mindedness and easygoing, it could shape your life in a much more stunning way than any simple, basic job would in your local town or in your local city. In conclusion, I will say that travel in general is not for everyone, but for those who have a desire, there are traits that you could adapt and learn and get better at in order to embody traveler's mentality. I will also say that traveling is healthy. This is a beautiful, stunning world that God created. And if you don't just do it, it'll never happen. And now it's easier to do it than ever before in varying ways, not just the beachfront, but the locals and giving back and being part of it and fully immersing yourself and experiencing it. With that said, I hope you get to experience this world. Peace and love.
Leave a like and subscribe.